Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from John chapter 16. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. This is the text. At him we just sang, in honor of this being Memorial Day weekend, certainly something to be celebrated. We sang Eternal Father, Strong to Save. It's a historic Navy hymn. Today, in the church, we celebrate also a very important holiday. We celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. What was a Jewish harvest festival that took place 50 days after the Sabbath of Passover, it has come to be celebrated as the birthday of the Christian church, because on that first day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit arrived as the sound of a great rushing wind, and the crowd of people gathered around, and the crowd is puzzled because they can hear these men who they know are from Galilee, who are able to speak in this multitude of different languages. Because you have people from all around the Mediterranean world coming to Jerusalem to celebrate various feast days. It might be the one and only pilgrimage they ever make in their lifetime back to Jerusalem, because the Jews at this point had been scattered all throughout the Roman world. And these men from Galilee are able to speak to each of these people and proclaim the gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, in their mother tongue. And they hear words that are familiar. Of course, there are those who mock the disciples, say that they must be drunk and mumbling. And it's true that no matter how clearly the gospel is spoken, there will always be some who refuse to hear it, or who can't wait to find a reason to refuse to hear it. And nothing has changed over the last 2,000 years. God still desires for you to hear his word in the language that your mother spoke to you as a child. And there are still those who will mock those words. When Peter stands up and preaches, we see the immediate fulfillment of what Jesus had promised in the upper room, what we heard in our gospel reading. What he promised would happen when he would send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth proceeding from the Father. Jesus says, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. He will convict the world. Jesus uses legal courtroom language. Literally, he will expose the error of the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment, because the world is in error concerning all three. Now, it would be easy for me to stand up here and say, well, the world being in error concerning sin is obvious. I mean, just look around. But that's the problem. It's the same problem that the crowd had who were listening to Peter. Their sin wasn't obvious. At least it wasn't obvious to them. Others' sin is always obvious. I mean, again, look around. But our own seems to be not so obvious. Many of the people visiting Jerusalem for Pentecost, they were probably there for Passover as well, when Jesus was killed. If you're going to travel all the way from Rome or Libya, you're going to come to Jerusalem, you aren't just going to stay for the weekend. Again, this might be the one and only time in your life that you make this pilgrimage. So, you're going to stay for more than one feast day. Now, the people who were living in Jerusalem, as we saw demonstrated all throughout the Easter season, they all knew about Jesus and the empty tomb. It wasn't a secret. It was something that everyone was talking about. Well, many of these same visitors from all around the world, they also had been in town the last couple months. They knew about the empty tomb also. They had heard of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, next week in our reading from Acts, we'll hear the continuation of Peter's sermon, where he stands up and he says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works." Because even if people got to town just before Passover, it was only a few days earlier that he had raised Lazarus from the dead, something everybody also was talking about. It says, "As you yourselves know, this Jesus you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, God raised him up." That's why there's an empty tomb, "as you yourselves know. Therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. He convicts them of their sin." Before these words are spoken, the crowd of thousands of Israelites who had gathered there in Jerusalem, they were there for Pentecost. They were there to celebrate, you know, being part of the people of God. And they were very much like the valley of dry bones that we read about in Ezekiel. Those people gathering in Jerusalem, they thought of themselves as the devout people of God. But they had no clue as to how far away from the kingdom they actually were. They had no idea how dead they actually were in their faith. Our world is no different. And nothing's changed in the last 2,000 years. You know, this generation, like many other generations, does not understand what a great weight, a great burden sin is. Our world looks at sin with a nod and a wink and just, you know, no big deal. Sin kills you. It drags you into the depths. It has to be dealt with. In regard to righteousness, otherwise it will be dealt with in regard to judgment. And that's what Jesus is talking about. So the church, beginning at Pentecost, through the work of the Holy Spirit, has the task of exposing the error, convicting the world concerning sin. Exposing the error is not judgment. Judgment comes later if it doesn't get dealt with. Exposing the error concerning sin is convincing the world that sin is actually a big problem, so that righteousness from Christ is seen as necessary. Needing to be clothed in his righteousness is something that we can't live without, so that judgment is avoided. In regard to sin and righteousness and judgment, it really all boils down to whether or not you believe that there is absolute truth. You know, the prevailing philosophy of our day is that my opinion is true for me, just as your opinion is true for you. Therefore, there is no truth in an absolute sense. There is only opinion, and we can talk about our opinions, but you know, your words are no more valid than mine. And that's the attitude. That's the basic teaching of postmodern philosophy. You can study it, look it up, read about it. It is the basic philosophy of the past few generations, the past 100 or so years in the Western world. And we are reaping the fruit of these very bad seeds of thought. It's interesting to me that when someone is going to go and have heart surgery, everyone wants a surgeon that believes there are absolutes in life. That there is absolute truth about how this works. However, in regard to spiritual things, not so much. The belief is that my personal beliefs are correct. They're truth for me. And whatever you say, you know, you can believe what you want, but, you know, I'll believe, we can agree to disagree. And that's just kind of how the world works. And it's so puzzling. It's very frustrating. Because Christ comes with one path to salvation, one and only, and it is through his death and his resurrection and him clothing us in his righteousness, exposing the error of sin and false thoughts, false words, bad deeds. It's not so easy and obvious as we think that it would be, especially within this postmodern world. But it doesn't mean that we should just meekly sit back in the corner and say nothing because, oh, they're never going to believe us anyway. They're never going to change their mind anyway, so, you know, why bother? Let's just talk among ourselves and be happy with that. That's not what the church has ever been called to do. And just remember that the philosophy and culture of today is eerily similar to the culture of the first and second century Greco-Roman world. And that church throughout the Mediterranean was mocked, was challenged by the world around it. As we've been going through Revelation, we're in the letters to the seven churches in Revelation 3 right now. And as we go through that, it's amazing to see that the problems within those churches are the same problems that we have today. The church founded by the apostles at Pentecost, those churches to whom those letters in Revelation were written, they did not overcome the hostile world by being timid or conforming to how the world thought the church should be. They spoke out. They condemned the world around them, not in an angry, judgmental way, but they convict the world of sin, exposing what it is that is troubling to our relationship with God, so that righteousness can be known. The world wants a righteousness apart from Christ. And to allow them to just say, well, then go your own way, again, is not how the church operates. We desire for them to know Christ. The world, though, as we see all too often, wants to just figure out the least amount we can do and still get into heaven. Or our world wants God to just be silent. We can never be silent. We are his representatives here on earth. The world wants God to be off in the distance somewhere, or, you know, maybe around us when we need him to fix things when bad things happen. But our old Adam does not want to look into the mirror of the law and see who we truly are and confess, I am a poor, miserable sinner. And to understand that there is no salvation outside of Christ and his death and resurrection. We live in a world that the Holy Spirit has convicted already in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Because the world does not take any of those three seriously. Sin is a serious matter. Judgment is a really serious matter. Thankfully, Christ came to deal with sin and judgment in a most serious way as he sent his Son to bear that burden for us, to shed his blood and die so that you can live, so that his righteousness covers you right now and will for all eternity. As you, as the saints of God, have washed your robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And his church, founded on Pentecost by the apostles, through the work of the Holy Spirit, continues to speak to you like a mother speaks to her children. And thankfully, this has not changed for 2,000 years. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.